Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwen Chaldemar, and our guest this week, Jan Thornhill. Each week, we visit with an author, editor, or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about his or her life, what prompts him or her to write, and give her an opportunity to read some of her work for us. Very pleased this week to have Jan Thornhill with us. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Jan Thornhill was born in Sudbury and grew up living on the outskirts of small communities where the fields and woods became her world. In the days of her youth, children were expected to play outside unless the temperature fell to minus 30 or there was a dangerous electrical storm in the summer. So she and her friends travelled in packs, building forts, looking for meteorites, exploring dangerous abandoned houses, and keeping their activities to themselves so as not to worry their parents. Her father was a metallurgical engineer, and her mother an artist, which may explain her focused scientific interest in the natural world, and that she chose to go to UCAD after leaving school. After she graduated, she decided to try freelancing as an illustrator for magazines and newspapers, and to her surprise, found employment this way for over 10 years, though she supplemented her income with other jobs when she needed more regular pay. After she met her husband Fred in 1981, they moved to a house they built in central Ontario. Jan started writing and had a number of her short stories accepted by literary magazines. In the mid-80s, she began her books for children, as she was finding her commissions for illustrations boring. Her first books, The Wildlife ABC and Wildlife 123, were a great success, the ABC being shortlisted for the GG Award in Illustration, and the 123 winning the UNICEF Ezra Jack Keats International Award for Excellent in Children's Book Illustration. Since then, Jan has written seven more books for children and was recently awarded the Vicki Metcalfe Award for a body of work, essentially a kind of lifetime achievement award. So, someone said once that a good childhood provides a lifetime of stories. How have your experiences influenced the stories and non-fiction books you've written for children?
I don't know if it's so much the stories as the inspiration of nature. Uh-huh. I've spent so much of my life outdoors that I just look at what's going on, and I have a really good memory of what I'm like was like as a child, and what I like then, I like now, and I just assume if I present it to kids, they'll like it too. And I think it's important that kids have some kind of connection to nature, especially when so many of them are not out in nature anymore.
Yes, very important. So when did you decide to be an artist? Did you have other ambitions as well when you were young?
Well, my mother stuck a crayon in my hand when I was two, I think. she always wanted an artist child. I also wanted to be a scientist when I was a kid, and of course I wanted to be a queen as well. That didn't work out.
And what prompted you to start writing then? You were making a career as an artist.
Yes, I was. I met my husband, and he was working in another city. He's a contemporary artist. And so our courting was, some of it was long distance, and some of it was through the mail, and he made beautiful, strange postcards for me, including wooden ones that he sent through the mail. And he used to, you could put a stamp on a piece of wood and it would arrive like a postcard. And I returned letters to him or postcards with strange little stories about animals on them, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed writing it. Just made me happy.
You just never looked back.
No, I wrote a lot for adults for a long time, as well as working on the kids' books.
So, I know you have concentrated on non-fiction, but you have written some fiction. What's your feeling now, or what do you want to write about now? Do you like making up stories, or do you like, you know, to look at some particular subject in the natural world? What's your...
I tend to look at a subject in the natural world and then write either fiction for children, yeah, or non-fiction for children or for adults. Trying to present fiction to the very young, to say 3-4 year olds, it helps to have a storyline for them to follow, and then Absolutely. Kind of sneak information about the environment or nature into the story, and then they pick up information without any pain.
Yeah, so why is that, do you think? Because the animals develop characters in the stories, and so the kid can empathize with...
Absolutely, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, could you read to us from one of those children's stories?
I'd love to. I'm going to read a little bit from Kyle Goes Alone, published by Owl Kids last fall, and it's illustrated by the very talented Ashley Barron. It's a very simple story for the very young. "I have to go," said Kyle. Kyle is a sloth. Kyle was a three-toed sloth. He lived with his mom high in the rainforest canopy. Like all sloths, Kyle was a slowpoke. He moved through the trees slowly. He chewed leaves slowly. He scratched his belly slowly. Kyle did everything so slowly that he only had to go once a week. And that once a week was now. "You know what," said his mom, "I think you're old enough to go alone." "Alone?" said Kyle. "Uh-huh, alone." Kyle looked down toward the ground and shuddered. Sloths spend their whole lives high in the trees. Sloths never, ever go down to the ground, except when they have to go. Kyle felt dizzy. The forest floor was a long, long, long way away. He wasn't sure he was ready to go alone. "You can do it," said his mom. "I'll be right here if you need me." So Kyle took a deep breath and started down. He used his hooked claws to slowly lower himself from branch to vine, from vine to tree, from tree to branch. After what seemed like a very long time, Kyle looked up. He couldn't see his mom anymore. Maybe he should turn back. Except he really had to go. "You're doing great," called his mom. "But I'm all alone," cried Kyle. "No, you're not," someone squawked. And on this page... You can't see it, obviously, but there is a camouflaged parrot. And when the page is turned, we see a glorious red-spectacled parrot who is one of his neighbors, who encourages him to continue on his way down. And Kyle meets other neighbors on the way down to the forest floor, and all of them are camouflaged the first time you see them. So it's sort of a hide-and-seek book that teaches about camouflage, the rainforest, the potty habits of sloths... independence for the young, and community, because his neighbors cheer him along.
It's
really lovely. The illustrations are unbelievably cute.
Yes, but yes. The story also is very endearing. I'm sure that it's a great success with its listeners. So, thank you, Jan. We've been talking to Jan Thornhill, who writes from her home in the woods of central Ontario. Now we'll take a short break.